We'll be reading from the passage on Jonah, 1, verses 1 to 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for this day that you've created. Father, we just thank you that we can start our day with the sharing of your word and with corporate prayer, Lord God. Father, I just pray the Holy Spirit will lead my sharing this morning, and then I'll be able to speak to the hearts of those who need to hear this word. Father, I just humble myself this morning, and I just thank you. We love you. We pray all things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of my sharing today is called "Turn Around." And as I was preparing and praying about what message I should be sharing at CMP this morning, I felt God really challenging me to consider whether my paths and decisions, so it could be related to career, it could be related to my own personal life, my family life, and also my ministry life, to really consider whether these paths are and decisions are either in obedience to him, or whether in reality I'm running away from the path that he has set before me. And if indeed I was running away from him, then I needed to turn around and realign my path with what he has intended for me. And naturally, when I think of a story of running away, the first story that comes to mind is the runaway prophet himself, Jonah. So this morning, I just want to spend a bit of time just doing very three simple things. The first is consider whether in our own lives, whether we are running towards or away from God's will and purpose for us. And secondly, is if we are running away, then why are we doing that? And thirdly, is to encourage each of us to surrender again every aspect of our lives to God and turn around back onto his path. So on the first point about which direction are we running towards, that's probably one of the greatest challenges for us, is to be able to distinguish whether a decision we are making is aligned with God's will, or whether in reality we are just rationalizing our decision to say that it is in alignment with God's will. So an example that I can think of is sometimes when PSAM shares about generosity, and people would convince themselves to say, "Oh, I don't have that much right now, so I don't think I should be generous. But later on, when I have more, I can be generous. I'm sure God will be okay with that." But we know for a fact that, that is not God's will for us. That is not what God has intended for us. And it's so easy to get confused and muddled, and ultimately really speaks to the condition of our heart. As it says in Jeremiah, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" In verse 3 of the passage that we just read earlier, it mentions that Jonah went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. Jonah might have thought to himself, "Hey, this is really convenient. I get to Joppa, there's a ship that goes to where I want it to go. Maybe this is a sign from the Lord saying that I can leave, I can run away." Jonah's rationalizing his own decision and thinking that it might be in line with God. We in our own lives also need to be very wary about rationalizing our circumstances or our own impulses as God's sign that we are doing his will. So how do we check whether we are in alignment? And there's no other way but really just to meditate and reflect our lives and decisions against the word of the Lord. The teaching and testimony, as it says in Isaiah 8:20. The great theologian Charles Spurgeon puts it like this: "Providence or no providence, The word of the Lord is to be our guide, and we must not depart from it under pretext of necessity or circumstances. It is very easy to make up a providence when you want to do so. If you sit down and try to find in the ways of God an excuse for the wrong that you wish you mean to commit, the crafty devil and your deceitful heart together will soon conjure up a plea for providence. In my life, I also need to examine all my choices. For example, in my family choices, whether I'm really leading my wife and kids as the house of head of the house in a godly manner, or am I just going through the motions, or am I really truly doing it? In my work choices, am I doing things the right way, or am I compromising for the easy way out? When I'm dealing with difficult colleagues or difficult clients, how am I reacting to them? If they're lashing out at me, do I lash back? Or do I show them there's a higher way, there's a better way, and that we can be salt and light in the workplace? And also in ministry, it's also checking whether my decisions are first and foremost as a son of the house, as a son of SP. I find it helpful when determining whether the path or decision is in alignment with God's will and purpose for us, is to ask ourselves again, what is God's ultimate purpose for our lives? As it says in the Westminster Shorter Catechism, first question is, what is the chief end of man? And the answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Brothers and sisters, let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning to examine your lives and choices. Does your choice or your path glorify him? Are your choices reflective of the child of God? And if you recognize that you are not fully aligned with God's will for you, then the question goes to my next point, which is to examine why are we not aligning our lives with God's will? In the story of Jonah, we usually think very simply that Jonah was just a bad, disobedient prophet. He clearly heard from God to go to Nineveh. He decides not to do it. In fact, he actually goes in the opposite direction. So Nineveh is really in modern-day Iraq, and Tarshish is, experts consider, should be in modern-day Spain. So going in the complete opposite direction. So in the Asia context, so if Jonah was in Hong Kong, it'd be like the Lord telling Jonah, go to North Korea to preach a message of repentance. And Jonah says, no, I'm going to go towards South Africa instead. But when we dig a little deeper and understand that Nineveh, the city where Jonah was told to go preach a message of repentance, is the capital of the Syrian nation, then you learn to maybe have a bit more sympathy for Jonah. Assyria at this time was known for its utter ruthlessness and ungodly ways. In Nahum chapter 3, 3 to 4, Nineveh was described as hosts of slain, heaps of corpses, dead bodies without end. They stumble over the bodies, and all for the countless whorings of the prostitute, graceful and of deadly charms, who betrays nations with their whorings and peoples with her charms. One commentary I read mentioned that they were known for skinning their enemies alive, skewering city officials on poles, and killing women and children in extremely cruel circumstances, and a lot of other graphic things that are probably too much to share first thing in the morning. Assyria represented everything that was not godly, and Assyria was an enemy of the kingdom of Israel. It is against this backdrop that you can appreciate more why Jonah was so against going to Nineveh to preach a message of repentance, as Jonah just didn't want to save these people. They're not worth saving. So Jonah had arguably a more ready-made excuse and reason for not following God's path. But what is our reason for not following God? If we know ourselves, we can come up with all sorts of reasons for not falling. Maybe God will get us to do something that we don't want to do. The old joke is, maybe God will send me to become a missionary in Africa. Maybe we are afraid of carrying out what he wants us to do. what if God tells me to minister to someone that, you know, I'm really afraid of? What if I get the wrong word? Maybe we'll be asked to give up things, habits, relationships, possessions. Or maybe we just think we know better. We ultimately want to be the masters of our own fate. But to that end, I would ask you to recall what happened to Jonah. First, he was told to go to preach in Nineveh. Second, he fled and got on a boat. Third, God brings a mighty storm and almost wrecks the ship. Fourth, everyone on the boat decides to cast lots to figure out who was the culprit for the storm, and the lots fell on Jonah. And fifth, he ultimately had to ask the sailors to throw him overboard in order to save the crew and the boat. And of course, sixth, he was swallowed by a whale, where he lived for 3 days and nights. Jonah forgot or disregarded that God is omnipotent and omnipresent. God is all-powerful and all-present. He is in complete control and everywhere. And God will go to extreme lengths to get Jonah back on course. My friends, when we veer away from God's path and want to control our own path, remember that there is no corner of this earth where we can hide from God. Psalm 139, 7 to 12 says, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me by night, even the darkness is not dark for you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you." I remember years ago, quite early in my Christian walk, I was in clear disobedience with God. And God wants to basically smack me over the head and tell me that I have to get back on the right path. So I remember very clearly, within the space of a few days, within 1 week, God used a brother from church, God used PSAM, and God used my mother to basically give me the same word, even though none of them are in communication with each other, and none of them knew precisely what was going on. But they all spoke, God spoke through all of them to ask me to repent and turn around and get back on the right path. God will go to extreme lengths to get you back on track, which leads me to my final point for today, which is surrender and to turn around. As Jonah was sitting in the whale, probably thinking, oh, no matter how hard I try to go in a different direction, God is everywhere and there's nothing I can do. Jonah probably realized finally that it's time to just surrender and repent. In Jonah chapter 2, 7 to 10, it says, "When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with a voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I vowed that I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord." In verse 10, it says, "And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land." And if we just continue for a little bit more, Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you.' So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord." Knowing that God is omnipotent and omnipresent, Jonah realized that it was just easier to surrender and just turn around back onto God's path. My question for you, my friends, and for myself this morning is, why are we still running away? God will do whatever he needs to do to get you back, to turn you back around. Yes, God's will for you may not align with exactly what you want at this point in time. Yes, you might encounter difficult situations that you might not like, just as Jonah was told to go to Nineveh. And yes, ultimately, we also need to face our fears of uncertainty, of being out of control. There's no question that dealing with uncertainties is always difficult, but it's always when we step out into the unknown that we more fully experience God. 2 Corinthians 12:9, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" What you and I know and understand in this world and in eternity is so, so limited. So I encourage you, brothers and sisters, this morning to surrender your path, your destiny, your finances, your relationships, and your worries, and not let God take control. He will turn you around one way or another, and it's just better if we learn to just surrender early so we can instead use our time, our efforts to glorify him and bring the good news to all those who need to hear him. Or, you know, and to share one final GIC verse, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. So I'd just like to invite Pastor Ernie to lead us in worship this morning. And as we go through worship and just spend time with the Lord, we really have a choice this morning to make, my brothers and sisters. Do we choose to trust in our own understanding by continuing to try and force our own plans to work? Or do we choose to trust in God and have his plans and purposes to be our plans and purposes? As I was preparing for this message, I came across this quote by an author and pastor based in Texas, which I thought really summarizes the length to which God will chase after us to get us back on the right path. So the quote goes, "If there are 1,000 steps between us and him, he'll take all but one, but he will leave the final one for us. The choice is ours." So brothers and sisters, let us turn around this morning and take that step back onto his path.
Separate us. You are for me. What can stand against us? Your love, it won't let go. I know it won't. Darkness, shadows have no power over me. Fear is empty. Shame has no authority. Your love, it won't let go. I know it won't. For I know your thoughts, your plans for me are good. And I know you hold my future and my hope. Your promises never fail. Your promises never fail. Favor over me, faith is breaking all impossibility. Your pain has I know your thoughts, your plans for me are good. I know you hold never fail. Your promises never fail. Your promises never fail. promises never fail. I'm still standing on every promise that you make. I will see it come to pass. Count your name in your name. Oh Jesus, I will trust every word I hear you say. I will see it come to pass in your name, in your name. I'm standing on every promise that you make. I will see it come to pass in your name, in your name. Oh Jesus, I will trust every word I hear you say. I will see it come to pass in your name, in your name. I am standing on every promise that you make. I will see it come to pass in your name, in your name. Oh Jesus, I will trust every word I hear you say. I will see it come to pass in your name, in your name. Oh, I know every promise that you make. I will see it come to pass in your name, in your name. Oh Jesus, I will trust every word I hear you say. I will see it come to pass in your name, in your name. I will see it come to pass in your name, in your name. I know your touch, your blast for me are good. I know you hold my future and my hope. Your promises never fail. 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 Your thoughts, your plans for me are good. I know you hold my future and my hope. Your promises never fail. Your promises never fail. Your promises never fail. Your promises never fail. You never fail. Never fail, you're faithful God, you're faithful Lord, you never change, you never change, you're the same today and forever Lord, you are faithful God, your promise never fail. For I know your thoughts, your plans for me are good. And I know you hold my future and my hope. Your promises never fail. 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 Your promises never fail, Lord. Never fail. Jesus never fail. Whatever circumstances we have, God is faithful. God is never failed to do His promises.
Father, we just thank you that your promises never fail. Father, we just thank you that, as it says in the song, that we know your thoughts, your plans for us are good. And we know you hold our futures and our hopes, and your promises never fail. Your promises never fail. And we will stand to come to pass in his name, in your name, in your name. So, Father, I just pray, Lord God, that if there's any aspects of our lives, in our paths, in our decisions, Lord God, that is not in alignment with you, that this morning we surrender and turn around and go back onto your path. So Father God, I just, just pray for a heart of surrender, for just total dependency upon you. For you are omnipotent. You are omnipresent. You are in control. You are everywhere. So, Father God, I just pray that we'll just surrender to you this morning, for you are good. So let's turn to our corporate prayer this morning. So let's just lift up our brothers and sisters who have loved ones going through cancer or going through chemo and radiation therapy and surgery. Let's just pray for God's healing hand to be upon them, and just to pray for them, God, to minister to them, but also to all the family members who are trying, who are supporting, and just supporting the family members who are struggling through cancer and therapy. So let's just lift them up. Turn to the next slide. Let's pray for all those friends and family who are not feeling well, but also those who need salvation in their lives. Let's pray that God would really come, not just to heal them physically, but also to heal them in their spirit. So let's just lift up our families and friends. Turn to the next slide. So let's pray for all our friends, brothers and sisters at church, and family members who are going through different, who are experiencing different ailments, who are experiencing different illnesses. We just pray for healing upon them. Let's pray for those who are looking for a job. Let's pray for God to just open the right doors for our brothers and sisters, and just close the doors that are not meant for them to walk through. So just, let's just lift up our brothers and sisters. turn to our mission focus. Let's pray for North Korea. Let's pray for open doors for ministry. And, you know, just as we were sharing earlier in Jonah, if any of you feel called to go to North Korea, I just pray that you obey and go and do what the Lord has intended for you to do. So let's just pray for North Korea. Let's also just continue to pray for missional opportunities and partnerships in Asia, and also for the persecuted churches, especially in the Middle East. And let's pray for all the SP online weekend gatherings. So there's EG retreat today. Let's pray for that. Let's pray for the migrant workers outreach, Sunday services, SP kids, worship, hospitality, SP youth, spin and spill service and activities, and all meetings. So even though this weekend a lot of activities are still happening through Zoom, through the online and the online format, just pray for even though it's online, that God will still be in the midst of all those activities. So let's pray. Let's lift up the house churches that are meeting this morning, Hollywood House Church, King's Court, Mawan, and Southside. Yeah, just pray for, wisdom and just your anointing appointing the house church leaders as they lead the discussion. And just pray for, prayer-driven leadership, as PSAM shared last Sunday, for prayer-driven leadership for the house church leaders and also for the members to also step into recognizing and learning how to do that for themselves. So let's lift up the house churches this morning. Finally, let's lift up our city. Let's lift up Hong Kong. You know, we're just very thankful that the number of cases have come down quite a bit. Now we're in single digits. We're just also really thankful for those who have kids, that schools have reopened and kids are able to go back to school, hang out with their friends and just be with other people. So, let's just continue to lift up the city. Let's continue to pray that for protection, that the number of cases will remain low or none at all, and that, we can resume, resume our social lives, that we can fellowship in person, and that we can, minister to each other in person. So let's just lift up our city. Thank you. Thanks. So, Father God, we just thank you again for this morning where we can come together and fellowship and just share in your word, Lord God. Father, I again just pray for all of us that if we are not in alignment with you, that we will surrender and turn around and get back onto your path. For you have our best interests in hearts and you know everything and that you are good. So, Father, I just pray that we will learn to trust you more and more day by day. Father, we just, again, thank you so much that for this morning. Thank you that we're healthy, Lord God. And Father, we just lift up the rest of this weekend to you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.